Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
What I want to talk to you about tonight for a few minutes is following Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian? I guarantee if I was to ask you what a Christian is tonight, every one of you give me a different answer. You might say it's someone who's accepted Christ, most likely. Or if I was to ask you how long you've been a Christian, you would probably go back to the day you accepted Christ. And you would say you're a Christian because you repented of your sins and accepted Christ July the 17th, 1991 or whatever. Or you might say a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus Christ, who has put their faith and trust in Jesus. But the word Christian in the Bible is only found three times. And it specifically means, in the Greek, a follower of Christ. Does not mean a believer in Christ. It does not mean an acceptor of Christ. It means a follower of Christ. Everybody say follower of Christ. Follower of Christ. Think about that word. So what is a follower of Christ? Again, we'd have 1,000 different definitions. But this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Very, very important here. He said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, everybody say follower, which what is a Christian? So if you want to be a Christian, right? If a Christian's a follower of Christ, if any of you want to be a Christian, you must give up your own way. Or as one translation says, deny yourself, which is laughable. We live in America. We have a democracy. We even have a Bill of Rights, bless God. And we know our rights in Fort Payne, Alabama. God and guns. Come on, everybody. We love God and we all carry guns. Because it is our Second Amendment rights. And we have Burger King. You have Burger King in Fort Payne? You can have it your way. We live in a cult. Deny yourself. Just think of one thing. Look at the person, will you? And tell one thing you've denied yourself of lately. Oh, you might say, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew or go with girls or do. But be honest with you, you don't even desire that stuff. You didn't deny yourself of that. You made a choice years ago to quit that. I'm not talking about what you chose to deny 20 years from now. I'm talking about what have you done to deny yourself today? Because remember, a follower of Christ, everybody say follower of Christ. In fact, that word deny yourself, in the original Greek, it means you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. Reject and disown your own life. You must give up your own way. You must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own. Now, he don't want anybody to die. In fact, he tells us in another place in Romans chapter 12, I want you to be a living sacrifice. So what does he mean when he says, take up your cross? In other words, he died, he denied himself, he gave up his life for others to live. Does everybody understand that? So to really understand this, when have you denied yourself of something you could have had, you have every right to have, but you denied yourself of it so that you could do something for somebody else that couldn't do it for themselves? So, because we couldn't save ourselves. You can't work your way up. Come on, everybody. What is that song? It says he'll climb up every mountain, you know, and light up every day. But in a part of it says, I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Huh? So he gave up his rights. He even said he could have stopped the whole thing, called 10,000 angels, 12 legions of angels. Could have stopped it. Asked God three times in the garden, if there's any other way, I'll take plan B. But ultimately, he denied all of his rights as the creator, as God, as the, and he became the Savior to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So with what he's saying, and follow me. Everybody say, follow me. Now, this is an important word here, because the word follow, I want to put up the definition if we can right quick. I think I gave you that. The word follow means to be in the same way with, to accompany. It is present tense. Everybody say present tense. And this Wednesday night, we're not on Facebook Live, right? So talk to me just a minute. What does present tense mean? Got any educated people in here? Right now. It doesn't mean a decision you made 20 years ago, 20 weeks ago, 20 days ago. See, so if I ask you, how do you know you're a Christian? Well, I accepted Christ. That's not what a Christian is. A Christian's not a Christ acceptor. In fact, Jesus talked about accepting Christ, but nowhere in the four Gospels did Jesus ask us to accept him. He asked us to follow him. Well, you say, but I'm a believer. I know I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus Christ, died for my sins. The Bible says that even devils believe. Are y'all with me? In fact, the brother of Jesus said, just believing is not enough. To have a belief without a corresponding action, faith without works, a belief without a corresponding action is unproductive, impotent, lacks transformation power. Are y'all still breathing? So to be a follower of Christ is not something I even did yesterday. I mean, you may have been a Christian yesterday, but are you a Christian today? Boy, I'm messing with y'all's theology. Pastor will straighten it all out when I'm gone. He'll be nice to me tonight, but he'll let y'all know. I'm not asking you if you followed Christ yesterday. I'm asking you if you followed Christ today. Present tense. In other words, we know what Jesus would be doing if he was on the earth, because he was on the earth. We can tell from four books, second part of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We know exactly what did, and we know what he did. So to follow him would be going where he would be going, doing what he would be doing. Or doing and going where he told us to go and doing what he told us to do. Is that a fair analogy? So, it's not being a Christ acceptor, it's not being a Christ believer, it's being a Christ follower. A father, and y'all understand this, a father took his little toddler to the grocery store one day. The little toddler was having a bad day, screaming, bloody murder. Moms are used to this, dads are not so much used to this, but screaming, bloody murder, and he's trying to, you know, calm down, Albert, everything's going to be all right, Albert. Don't get upset, Albert. It's going to be all right, Albert. Don't lose your temper, Albert. Albert. And the little kid is just screaming bloody murder. He's dragging stuff off the counters. The father's now learning to put it in the middle of the way. He can't reach it. And he's just, calm down, Albert. Everything's going to be all right, Albert. Just don't get upset, Albert. Finally, the little boy just reaches down in the buggy, picks up a jar of mayonnaise, busted in the floor. And the dad's just rolling the cart, and he finally makes it into one of the checkout lines, and he's just saying, it's going to be all right, Albert. Just don't get upset, Albert. Just calm down, Albert. And this lady walks over and says, sir, said, I've just been watching you through the store, and said, I'm just going to have to be honest. I'm just amazed at your patience and your soft-spokenness and how you have treated little Albert here, talked to little Albert. He looks at the woman and he says, little Albert, he's not Albert, I'm Albert. Can anybody identify with me? Now you say, why are you telling me that joke? Because you may need to talk to yourself during this message tonight and say, it's going to be all right, Albert. In fact, look at somebody and tell them that right now. Say, it's going to be all right, Albert. This has been a journey for me. It is a journey for me. If really following Christ is a journey. I think the reason we've lost our influence in the United States and around the world, a third of the church has backslid during this pandemic worldwide. We cannot blame what's going on in this country on the White House. It's not the White House's fault. It's not the Supreme Courthouse's fault. It's not the state house's fault. It's not the schoolhouse's fault. It's not the church house's fault. It's your house and my house's fault. If we've lost our influence in America today, and we have completely, the church is irrelevant in our world today. I'm just being honest. And we must accept it for ourselves. It's because we have taken what Jesus meant to be a relationship, a journey, an adventure, an everyday 24/7 experience, and we've turned it into a religion. Christianity is now a religion. And if you're a Christ acceptor or a Christ believer, then Sunday morning and Sunday night, you've done your duty. You've done what it takes. The other 5 days, 5.5 days of the week are yours to do what you want to. If you're a Christ acceptor or a Christ believer, you pay your tithe. You may dump a little extra every now and then, but you believe by paying your tithe, you can do exactly what you want to with the other 90%. But if you're a Christ follower, you know both of those are not so. Because a Christ follower knows that at any moment of any day, Jesus can talk to you about your time and your treasure. Can I have an amen? Or just say, it's going to be all right, Albert. In fact, here's another verse of scripture in Luke chapter 6. You've probably heard this verse of scripture, probably quoted it a few times. Verse 46, we'll just put 46 up first, or however you, I don't know how you put it in, but pay attention to 46 right now. Why do you, that's all right, you don't have to do that, I threw you up. Why do you call me, come on, read it with me out loud. Why do you call me? Okay, we all feel good about that, right? Right, we all feel good about that. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you sing these songs we sing? Is what are you saying? Why on Sunday morning do you raise your hand? It's your breath and my love, you know. Or like, I was at Pastor Johnny Johnson's church, Gadsden Christian Fellowship. He's in EMIF, you may know. I was at his church about 8 weeks ago, and the worship was awesome. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. When I say the worship was awesome, I mean, I had chill bumps. I had chicken skin. I had tears rolling down my face. It was feeling right. Huh? Which is really not worship. Just want to throw that in. Just because it makes you feel good doesn't mean it's worship. In fact, I would say worship's just the opposite. The very first reference, and first reference in preaching and understanding the Bible is very important. The very first reference to the word worship anywhere in your Bible is when Abraham took his son Isaac on the mountain to kill him. We have made worship so me-oriented. But anyway, not y'all. I'm talking about other churches. Anyway, I was crying and feeling it, and we're singing this beautiful song, Alabaster Heart. I'm just like, my whole life a fragrance. Oh, man. And then we're on this bridge for about the 10th time. All my love, all my love, all my love, I give it all to you, or you can have it all. And then he says this, all my heart, all my soul, all I own, you can have it all. And the Holy Spirit just taps me and says, do you believe what you just said? Yeah. Now, be it far from me to put anybody, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I don't think I really understood what I was saying at all. Now I want to stand before you and say, I'd gladly give it all. But I just stopped and I thought, how many people in this congregation really mean right now, if Jesus asked them for everything, they'd give it to him? But they just said they would because they were feeling chills. And it was good, and it's a great song. And it's ooey gooey. So what Jesus was saying, you're singing that song, but really when you leave, you have no intention. Or maybe with these words here, we say, hey, do not the things I say. And there again, if we're not careful, we start thinking about everything we don't do or our religious duties. Well, I go to church. I pay my tithe. I don't do this. I don't watch that. I don't do what they do. Be careful. That's what the sinner and the Pharisee said. Remember that? Are y'all still with me? Is this okay for Wednesday night? Okay. What did he mean? Because he goes on. Look at verse 47. He goes on. As for everyone who comes to me, that's us tonight, right? For everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Let's back up. So as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and studies my words, and learns the Greek and the Hebrew in my words, carries a Strong's Concordance on their phone, on their computer, on their iPad. I have all three of them on all. And goes to small groups where we dive deep because we want to get deep in the word. Well, what he says is all of that is good for nothing unless you actually, what? Put them into practice. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're to take the word and flesh it out in our everyday life. My dad would call it the word with boots on. Puts it into practice. That word practice there literally means exercise in the original language. Means to work. Now, I have a gym membership. I met a friend in Texas this week. She has a gym membership, and every morning she takes a picture of her at the gym. But she only has a gym membership because it has a tanning bed. She doesn't explain that when she takes the picture. Put it back up. I'll hurry now because I want to get to where I'm going. So, I will show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. You know what the next verse says, don't you? Verse 49. It says, I didn't put it up, but it says this. It says, but for those who hear my words, but do not put them into practice. But both of them are amening. Both of them are shaking their head. Yeah, this is great preaching. Like a bobblehead on your dash of your car, you know. But doesn't put them into practice. I will liken him as a man who built his house on the sand. The same storms came, but what? The house fell apart. So we all know that story. How many of you have heard that story many times? When I was a child in children's church in Star City, Arkansas, we used to sing a song. The wise man built. How many of y'all know that? Come on, let's do it one time. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Yep, sand. Yep, that's right. That's good. That is one. I love the Passion Translation because here it says, which builder will you be? The rock builder or the sand builder? So, that's a great story. I've heard sermons preached on that. And then you go off into all these things about, you know, reading your Bible and fasting and praying and attending church and all that. But I think we ought to at least stop and say, what words is he talking about? He said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Well, what did you say? And hear these sayings of mine and put them into practice. This is actually the end of a sermon. He's not talking about everything else he said. He's actually talking about the words he just said. So we ought to at least back up a few verses and see what he said. Can I have an amen? All right, so I'm going to do that with you for just a few minutes. I'm going to skip around because, honestly, I don't think I could take it all tonight. But just 10 verses, you ought to try it sometime. Maybe I'll come back and preach part two one night. But just try beginning with verse 27 of Luke through 38 and just try to put those words into practice. Because it starts with love your enemies. But anyway, I won't go there tonight. I don't have time. Verse 29 is where I'll go tonight. To those who despise you, continue to serve them and minister to them. Now, one translation says, if they slap you on the right cheek, turn your other cheek to them. I actually know a guy who went to LSU University, Louisiana South University, and he was in class in a working thing with a Muslim guy. And he kept trying to talk to this Muslim about Jesus. One day the Muslim looked at him several months into school in that semester and said, I would never become a Christian. You Christians don't even live what you believe. And the guy I know, he says, well, yes, we do. He just reached up and, I don't mean patty caked him, slapped him. And he looked at the guy and he said, I was almost crying. He said, tears were in my eyes. He said, it stung, it burned. And he says, I turned my cheek to him. He said, now, I don't know what I'd done if he'd actually slapped that one. But he said, but I made it through the first one. Several months later, because of that day, he was able to lead that Muslim to Christ. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm just going to go through a few verses. I think the reason we've lost our influence is because we don't actually live what we say we believe. I think we just lost a third of the church because we weren't teaching people what Jesus actually told us to live. We tell them what not to do, but we don't really tell them what to do. Me and my wife, several years ago, about 20 years ago, we, after pastoring three churches and about 15 years at our third church, we come to this great conclusion. It's not alcohol, drugs, adultery, pornography that get most people. It's just life. It's just everyday life. And hasn't that been true? Let me tell you why our influence has dove over the last 18 months. Just look at social media. Just look at Christians on social media. Right now on Twitter, there is the Southern Baptists are at war with one another. And I'm not just talking about the Southern Baptists because I see some of your posts. But anyway, everybody say, it's going to be all right, Albert. So I won't go into that. That's not what I want to talk about, that part tonight, although that's a good part right there. Here's the next part of that. If someone takes away your coat, sue him, call the popo, get on Facebook and call him out, call your prayer club and you know, just let's pray for him because you know what he did to me. But I just want to pray for him. Give him as a gift your shirt as well. Now, I don't know, but I can explain this way. Here's what we do. We justify all this stuff. I mean, so what's he talking about? He's not talking about the guy that stole my spare tire out of my car last week. No, he's not talking about that. No, I'm going back down there and tell him he stole it. And I want my spare tire back. And every other way we can justify that it don't mean what happened to us. And our neighbor that stole that off my porch last week. But that's what Jesus said, do. Jesus said, if somebody takes something from you, you know what Jesus is actually saying here? When you read it in the Greek, it's actually meaning if someone took that, it may mean that they have a need. So just go ahead, let them have that and give them something else. To deny yourself and do something for them they cannot do for themselves. No, they're just a thug thief. They're probably going to get drugs with it. Hold on. Everybody still breathing? It's going to be all right, Albert. So I want to skip, or let me go to the next verse. When someone comes to beg from you, verse 30. Now notice if someone takes something from you, Lee, give them something else. The next verse, he says, verse 30, put it up. It says, if someone comes to beg from you, when someone comes to beg from you, I didn't give you 30? Well, shame on me. Open your Bibles right quick. Turn to it right quick. Come on. I want you to see verse 30. Are you there? Help me. Turn your thing on, whatever. Okay, this is good. This is good. I like the other translation better, but give to what? No, come on, talk to me. Give to
everyone
who ask. What? Wait a minute. Give to everyone. How, Jesus, this, I mean, come on. Oh, he meant something else. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Where I live, you know how many people holding signs? Huh? He can't, there's got to be another meaning. He's meaning, really what he's meaning is be willing that you would love to do that. And we all would love to do that, don't we? We just wish we could. If I could, I would. Huh? With my I-12 and my 2021 MacBook, I just don't have it to give. But if I had it, I'd give it. My new smart TV. I used that stimulus check and got me a 65-incher. Oh, it happened. Yes, it did. Say, it's going to be all right, Albert. And let me read you my translation. When someone comes to beg from you, give to that person what you have. Say, everyone that asks. Give to everyone who asks of you. So I like this translation. It's actually in the Greek is what it means. So if you have something, give it to them. I can tell you many scriptures. It says, matter of fact, if you have it, don't say go away and let me pray about it and see if the Lord leads me, because I've got to be a good steward of my money, because you may be going to take this and go buy alcohol with it or go buy drugs with it. So I want to be able that I'm theologically and doctrinally correct, and tomorrow I'll give it to you. But Jesus said, don't do that either. Wow. What do you have? Well, we live in a convenient age. We don't carry cash anymore. Oh, well, I don't. If I had something, I would give it to you. How convenient is that? We have made Christianity so boring because it's so comfortable. It's no challenge to it anymore. Not the way Jesus meant for it to be. I mean, I remember reading Joyce Myers one time, and she talked about, does anybody know who Joyce Myers is? I don't know if you've ever heard her testimony. She was repeatedly raped by her father from a young age. And so anyway, she's becoming a Christian, and now she's teaching the Word of God, and her kids are a little older, and they're gone to school. And she said, I would stay home all day long praying in the Spirit, cleaning house, and just glorying to God. And she said, 30 minutes after my kids' homes, I was throwing things in the house. See, you can have the fruit of the Spirit as long as you buy yourself. Yeah, I'm just full of patience. Glory to God. I'm just full of kindness and goodness. Until you have to put yourself around someone who tries your... Have you ever said that before? I mean, not any of you. They just try my patience. That's exactly right. God's trying to use them to develop patience. But what we do in the church is we just cut those people out of our life. Cancel culture is nothing new. I've been watching in the church for 100 years. We just don't go out to eat with them. Oh, we love them. We love them on Sunday morning. God bless you, man. I just love everybody. I never go out to eat with you because you try my patience. I don't tell you that. No, I don't tell you that. I just always go out with... He's fun loving. He's great to be around. We get along. We're of the same vision. We're of the same heart. So one week, we invite him and Pastor Madison to our house. The next week, they invite us to their house. And we're all just comfortable. Because that's the way we've learned to do it. Small groups. Find people you're compatible with. Yeah. And grow in Jesus with them. Because it won't take much growth. Yeah. I'm just being honest. Are y'all still breathing? Okay. I've only read two verses, y'all. Now watch this. The very next thing's out of his mouth. Read it. Put that verse back up. I want to read the second part of it. Verse 30. Watch this. Now, he's already told us. He's already told us two things. If anybody takes anything from you, give them something else. Then he says, to everyone that asks, give what you have. And then the very next statement is, and from him who takes away your goods, do what? Do what? What? I'm just telling you. Jesus could not have meant that. I mean, we have mortgages. I got a car payment. I got to pay the power bill. I mean, he could not have meant that. I mean, Jesus wouldn't bless thieves. He don't want me to bless a thief. If somebody takes something from me, I need to tell him he's going to hell. I need to tell him to get a job. You don't work, you don't eat. Don't take mine. I worked. I'm just being honest, everybody. So but we're not struggling with this yet because we're still explaining it away. It cannot mean what it says. It cannot. Because if it did, it would take a whole lot of faith. It would kind of be like, Philip, I want you to feed 20,000 people. What? I ain't got nobody. It'd take me all day to, I mean, it'd take a year's way. We need to take an offering. He said, no, I want you to feed them. He said, well, we got five loaves and two fish, but what is that amongst so many? Because see, Jesus knew what he wanted to do. But where's your faith? Okay, I talked about the fruit of the Spirit. So let me ask this question. Don't answer it though, you know, because I know you are. But I'm talking about this is for people you can tell the message about. Where today are you doing something that's denying yourself to do something for somebody else that they can't do for themselves, that if God don't come through for you, you're going to be in trouble? How do you know your faith is growing? How do you know your faith is growing? 2 years ago, 2019, and I'll tell you a little story in a minute about this, but 2019, I hit a brick wall in some areas of my life, and one day I'm praying. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. It was very abrupt. I didn't see it coming. It came from, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and he said this. He said, Frankie, he said, my blessings on your life has stunted your faith. Of which I'm different, you know. I started arguing with God. I started telling him how me and my wife both came. I mean, my dad died in debt. I mean, we paid for our own wedding back in 1982. I mean, everything. We crawled ourselves out writing on checks. I still use checks. But anyway, writing on checks. Debt free. He said, you know, I was telling God something he didn't know. And I'll never forget, he's just gentle. I was weeping. He said, I know, son. He said, but you got to a certain level in life where you could handle it all. Now you're blessed. And because you're blessed, your faith just started. You didn't stretch yourself. You know why? Because I didn't know I was supposed to give to everybody that asked me. So I just would look at people and say, well, I can't give to everybody. Huh? He couldn't have meant that. Because that would take faith. He didn't even say how much to give. He didn't say what. He just said, give them something. Is everybody with me? Okay, so there's got to be more to this, and I'll come back to it in a minute, but let's go on to verse 32, and let me just read rapidly here for a minute. So, verse 32, are you ready? Buckle your seatbelt. Are you really showing true love by loving only those who love you? Even those who don't know God will do that. Are you really showing compassion when you do good deeds only to those who do good deeds to you? So we're going to fix you a meal when you go in the hospital, and then you're going to fix us a meal when we go in the hospital. And we all take care of one another because that's what the church is supposed to do. Okay, here he goes again. He cannot mean this. If you lend money only to those who will repay you, What does it say up there? Is that what it says? Are y'all breathing? Now notice. Now notice. Look how much he's in these verses. Look how much he's talking about money and possessions. Are y'all with me? You wouldn't expect a preacher here. He's talking about money. I'm not taking an offering, I promise. Watch what he says. If you only lend to people you know going to pay you back, well, I'm sure not going to lend to somebody I know I'm not going to pay me back. What credit is that to your character? Even those who don't know God. Here's what I'm saying. In case you're not catching my opening statements, this is why we're not making an impact on our world. We're no different than them. They don't see us. We're no different. Our world has conformed us, even in our Christianity, our religion of Christianity. Because this right here, let me tell you what kind of life this would take. Knots in your stomach, high highs, low lows. It'd be like going to a theme park and riding roller coasters, baby. You don't know what's going on. I mean, what am I going to, how am I going to make that? How do I do this? What am I don't know, but I got to do something. I mean, let me tell you, there's going to be some moments you got to believe God. You know, I would dare say this. Most of us, depending on how long you've been serving Christ, I mean, we kind of came in with that attitude. We kind of used to like it, stretching our faith, knots in our stomach, wondering if God's going. But I think we get to a place in our life and we get comfortable. We don't want those moments anymore. We remember what it was like when we had none. Of course, it was exciting and fun, but we've kind of lost that part. And we've become comfortably Christian. Can I have an amen? And you know, we're against socialism, right? We don't want to see socialism in America. Yeah, the church has been practicing socialism a long time. We don't take care of the poor. We want the government to take care of the poor. So, I mean, come on, church. We've been doing socialism a long time in the church. I'm not talking about y'all. Okay? I don't know how I'm going to pull this out. Let me read a little bit further, can I? Rather love your enemies and continue to treat them well. We won't talk about that, but watch what the next line says. When you lend money, don't despair if you're never paid back. For it is not lost. Is everybody with me? You will receive a rich reward and you will be known as as true children of the Most High God, having his same. See, what credit is that to your character? Isn't that what the one verse says? Now it says, but when you live like this, you take on the nature of your heavenly Father. And look what kind of nature he has. Be like your Father who is famous. Have you heard that new song about he's famous? Oh, it's a great song. I heard it this week for the first time. I talked to you, but I'm sorry. Be like your Father, who is famous for his kindness to heal even the thankless and the cruel. Okay, so let me read two more verses. Is everybody still breathing? Say it's going to be all right, Albert. Jesus said, verse 36, overflow with mercy and compassion for others, just as your heavenly Father overflows with mercy and compassion for all. This is not a passive, if somebody just smashes into you and they need mercy and compassion. It means be intentionally looking wherever you are, not Sunday and Wednesday nights. We're all okay. Everywhere you go, the restaurant, the nail shop, the grocery store, the gas station, be looking for someone who needs mercy and compassion. And go intentionally and on purpose, because you would be doing what Jesus would be doing. Stop here at the woman at the well. Don't go to the place you always like to go because it has the cold drinks, the 64 ounce. No, why don't you just ask Jesus which gas station you should stop at? We don't ever think of that. We're being good stewards. We go to get the 64 ounce because it's cheaper. You know, 32 is this much. You know, come on, 48 is this much. But the 64 is just 10 cents more. Think how we think, how I think. And then he says, Jesus said, forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others. Now, you know it goes on to say, I'll read the rest of it in just a minute. Just look at me. So how do we judge and criticize? One day in December of 2019, I was taking my mother to her pastor's Christmas open house in Gadsden. I was driving her car. She was on this side. And we come to that, I think it's the Tala exit, I'm not sure. It's the one that comes down where Starbucks is and Walmart is, and it comes down with that U-turn. Y'all know where I'm talking about? And here comes a guy. He is, I can tell. And sure enough, he comes around that curve. His car is wobbling. I thought he was going to flip it. And he comes over into my lane. And there's my little 90-year-old mother. And I did what any man of God would do. Wham, you idiot! Because, I mean, any idiot would know you shouldn't come down that ramp. It's got signs. You almost killed my mother. And immediately, because I've been on this journey a while, the Holy Spirit says, oh, really, he's an idiot? Well, I knew what he was talking about. He's creating the image of God. God don't create idiots. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Father. There's another part up here that talks about praying. So I begin to pray for him. The Holy Spirit begins to pray through me. You don't know. He may have just got a call that his wife was killed in an automobile. He may have just found out his son was put in. You just judged him and criticized. Oh, but I don't judge and criticize anybody. I'm weeping now and crying. It's close to Christmas. He was by himself. I wonder if he has any family. And then this thought came to me, and it literally happened to me yesterday. I'm in Birmingham. I flew in. I'm driving my wife's car. And I'm on 280, and I can't. Her mirrors are not set for me. And I almost get in the, and a guy rides by me. Now, I can let pride get in the way. Or I'll tell you what really I felt. I felt shame. Oh, how stupid was that? I've done that before, have you? And the Holy Spirit starts saying, do you know the shame you just put on that guy by blowing your horn? Because another one of these verses, do to others as you'd have them do to you. But we don't. See, we've become so comfortable in our Christianity. These are the words. What now? Here, go back. These are the words you say. Oh, I love you, Lord. You idiot. It says forgive over and over and over. That's what it says. Put that verse back up, and then I'll try to wrap up. It's close to 8 o'clock. Forgive over and over, and you'll be forgiven over and over. I need to say one statement. I don't have time to preach on it, but I need to say one statement. Forgiveness, your forgiveness of whoever, whatever in your life, listen to this, is not complete until your offender knows they have been forgiven. See, there, because we can sit in church and say, oh God, I just forgive them right now. I plead the blood of Jesus. I just forgive them. That's the way we do Christianity, because it's a religion. It's not a relationship. What if you never knew God forgave you? Where would you be tonight? Huh? So everybody say, put this in your spirit. Forgiveness is not complete till your offender knows you have forgiven them. See, that means you got to do something when you get out of church tonight or tomorrow. You got to make a phone call. You got to text. You got to set up a meeting. And for some of you, that means you can't set up a meeting. That means for some of us, I know I've had to walk through it. That means for some of us, God, you know the sermon. I don't even know if they'll answer. They've blocked me out. The only way, God, if you're going to have to set something up to where I run into them. I prayed that one day at a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. My son said, Dad, let's go to the mall. And at 12:15, the guy walks right into me. See, because God will help you walk out the words of Jesus. But it's going to take faith. And it's going to take the fruit of the Spirit. Give generously and generous. Verse 38, I'm sorry. Give generously and gifts will be given. How many of you know this verse? You know it as, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Are you with me? Okay. So let me tell you two quick things. Number one, probably in this room there are people who have lent money and not gotten it back. And it puts tension. It may have even broken relationships. It destroys families. It destroys friendships. And I would even go a step further. There may be one or two in here that you already know you're never going to get it back. You already know it. You already know it. You avoid them, they avoid you in a Christian sort of way. You don't hate them. But here's the truth. You're never going to get it back. So why did he say, why did Jesus say those two phrases in the same sermon? Because here's what he's saying. As long as you count it a debt, as long as you lend it to get it back, you're no different in the banks, you're no different in sinners, you're no different in anybody. And as long as you're not getting it back, you're never going to get it back. You've lost it. You feel it's lost. You've got tension. It rises up. You can't get rid of it. But the moment you say, you don't owe me a debt anymore. I'm going to step out of you owe me into I give it to you. Because you're never going to get it back as a debt. But the moment you turn around and say, I give it to you, you're free. It was not a debt. You owe me nothing. You have activated verse 38. You're never going to get it back as long as you're demanding they owe you money. But the moment you make it a gift, you activate the power and the promises of God who says, I will give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You go from loss to gain. Now, I don't know how God wants you to walk this out. I'm going to tell you how I walked it out. And I'm going to be through by 8 o'clock. When God first spoke this to me, I'll be honest, I already carried money in my billfold. I like to keep cash in my billfold, and I'm very aware of what I'm doing. I've had to pray this through, but I've got to give you some examples. Without application, you're never going to understand this because we'll keep generalizing all of this. So I say, I love to give, and I love to give cash. I love to give cash to waitresses and waiters. I don't like to put it on my, even if I pay my bill on a credit card, I give a tip by cash because I don't know what kind of need they may be. They only make $2 to $3 an hour. That's not their wage. Your tip is their wage. I said, your tip is their wage. They may need diaper money. They may need babysitter money. They may need milk money. So I like to give them cash. I like to give kids money. I just like to give. I give to every homeless person. I give them something. So I keep cash. And what I always did was when I ran out of cash, I'd just tell my wife, she would give me some more cash at the getting place. And so I asked God. I said, okay, God. You said I stunned in my faith. I'm going to grow my faith. From now on, everything in my billfold cash, I will give away. I will not cash another check. I will not withdraw any money out of the bank. In fact, I couldn't. In fact, I couldn't because someone swindled money from me. In fact, someone forged my name and stole my money. Now remember all the verses I just said to you. Everybody with me? Well, it's only right. That's what we have the court systems for. Can you have an amen? I mean, Jesus couldn't have meant that like now because, I mean, like now I have a house payment and that car. I mean, you understand it's different. So he, in those days, you didn't have banks and house car. So he couldn't have meant that today. But me doing that would have affected this person's children. In fact, I found out this person not only swindled me, but they got themselves in debt. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit just took me to the words of Jesus. Not only did I not press charges, not only did I tell him I canceled the debt, you owe me nothing, but I had to go and take money and pay a debt for them to keep them out of jail. That was 2019. In 2020, during a pandemic, I'm a traveling preacher. The church is shut down. I made more money in 2020 than any year I ever made in my entire life. But I didn't know 2020 was coming, and I didn't do it for that reason. I did it to be a Christ follower. So over the last 2 years, now I'm averaging $800 a month that I give away. I write every dime down. Never before in my life did people give me cash. People gave me checks. But since 2019, people give me cash in the most unusual ways. And right when I think I'm going to run out, somebody unexpected who knows nothing about what I'm telling you about will suddenly bring and give me cash. Even to the point they say, well, I don't know why. I was going to just write a check, but I just felt I was supposed to give you cash. It's been a faith journey. Where tonight are you having to exercise faith? How do you know your faith is growing? I'm just asking you. No, don't try to do it my way. Don't try to do it my way. But I'm just saying, if you're going to be a Christ follower, just start with these verses. Relationships could be healed. Families could be restored. That tension could be gone. And what is a loss in your life tonight could be turned around to a great blessing. If you'll just follow Christ. Everybody stand with me. Now, I'm just going to tell you up front. Strange. You know this is strange for me. I'm not going to do an altar thing. In fact, it really doesn't matter to me. And hear what I'm saying. How you respond to me tonight. Right? Because what's going to matter is how you respond when you leave here and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Actually, I'm inviting you into the adventure of your life. It will take you so high and so low, and you will watch God do some of the most unbelievable. I didn't say spectacular. It ain't always big. It's just unbelievable. To where you're actually watching God every day of your life and you're like laughing and crying. Amen? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the well at Fort Payne. Thank you for the impact, God, we're going to have in this city and in our community. Thank God, God, people are going to begin to just see difference. How will we make a difference unless we are different? And so, Jesus, I thank you. We're not going to just sing songs. We're not going to just call you Lord. We're not going to just listen to your words, but we're going to walk out here and we're going to be Jesus with skin on. We're going to be the Word made flesh. We are going to walk it out in our boots, in our everyday life with our friends, our family, and our foes until people notice Jesus in us. I really sense tonight, just I'm praying for families. There is a couple of relationships that have been broken. I believe tonight God is starting to say, you just need to go tell them you forgive them. Tell them it's over. You're not going to hold it. You're not going to think about it. You don't even want them to ever think about it. You don't want them to feel any different in your presence. It's over. It's canceled. The debt is gone. Just say, listen, I want you to know it's a gift. And I'm glad you have it. I'm glad I could give it to you. God's going to begin to do something in relationships in a powerful way. Father, I pray for courage. I pray for faith. I pray for tenacity, and I pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because without you, Holy Spirit, if you don't, we can't. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.